But when winter came, it withered, the petals drooped and fell to the ground. My heart sank as it faded, but I'd forgotten who had made it. Then he whispered, roses will bloom again, just wait and see. Don't mourn what might have been, only God knows how and when that roses will bloom again. A mother sends off her soldier to fight a war on foreign land. They say they fight for freedom, but I don't fully understand. And for some they pay the highest price, 'cause freedom is not free. So home they come, draped with the stars and stripes, while mothers and friends have tears to wipe. They believe that roses will bloom again, just wait and see. Don't mourn what might have been, only God knows how and when that roses will bloom again. The precious rose of Sharon, broken and bruised in cruel shame. His blood stained on the cross of Calvary, so that man could be saved. Satan cheered as he died, while Mary and the others cried. Then God raised him up from that sleep, kept a promise only he could keep. Hallelujah, roses will bloom again, just wait and see. Don't mourn what might have been, only God knows how and when that again. Roses will bloom again.
Wonderful. I'll tell you, I love Sundays around here. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. We're going to use verse 16 out of this chapter. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. This scripture says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Did you turn the tape on over there, Brother Pat? Good, thank you. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, Now that sounds exciting, doesn't it? What's going to happen whenever this takes place? When the Lord descends again, what's going to happen? The dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise. That, my friends, is what we call resurrection. Now, this has been on my mind and heart since Brother John Simpson made his way into glory, and I've been thinking thoughts along this line, and I want to bring a message this morning about four resurrections. One thing certain to take place at Christ's coming is the resurrection of his people. It says the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, resurrection is based on the Lord Jesus Christ and him coming out of the grave on the third day after his crucifixion. If it wasn't for that, and if you dismiss that, then forget all the rest of them, because they're all tied to this one. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then there's no hope for any of us. But now is Christ risen from the dead. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 63, Jesus had said to the people, this is while he was still alive during his earthly ministry, he said, after 3 days, I will rise again. He's foretelling his death, burial, and resurrection. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He's foretelling his resurrection from the dead before he even died. You'll remember on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter preached, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Not possible. Now, that same Christ who died and was buried and rose again and ascended up into heaven is coming again. He's going to return. And when he comes back, listen to this from Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, he's up on top of the Mount of Olives, okay, with his disciples, and he's teaching them. And as he's teaching them, he slowly begins to rise up into the air. Listen to this. And when he's spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 says, behold, he cometh with clouds. So, whenever you walk out here today and you look around and you don't see a cloud in the sky, Jesus is not coming today. Amen? because when he comes, he's going to come with clouds. Now, last week or so, we saw some clouds in a state called Oklahoma. Did you see those? Boy, those were doozies, weren't they? Man, lies. You look at that and you see those little tornado things come down like that. And what does it make you think of? The coming of Jesus. He's going to come with clouds. Beautiful day out here like this. Not a cloud in the sky. He's not coming today because he's coming with clouds, isn't he? All right. Now, Paul wrote in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead. That's resurrection, isn't it? Thou shalt be saved. If we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we'll be saved. Simple, isn't it? The resurrection of Christ is all important. Now, let's talk about another resurrection here. If you are here today and you are a born-again believer, a Christian, you have already experienced a resurrection. Now let's look at the scriptures. Because when a sinner is saved today, he is resurrected from the dead. Now this is a faith resurrection. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 21, think on this verse. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. That word quicken, I'm going to show you how smart I am today by quoting you some Greek. I can't say it because I don't speak Greek, but I'll spell it for you. There's a Greek word, it's called Z-O-O-P-O-I-E-O. And if you can say it, you can have it. But when the translators of our Bible said, let's translate that Greek word into English, into an English word so that we English-speaking people will know it, they translated into the word quickeneth. That means to make alive, to cause to live, quickeneth. He said, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son, that's Jesus, quickeneth, makes alive whom he will. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 uses the word again. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. You mean to tell me I was once dead? Yes, not physically, but spiritually, I was dead. He quickeneth the dead, the ones who are dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Not physically dead, not buried out here in Glen Abbey Cemetery, but spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. It's kind of like a seed. Take a seed, put it out here in the ground, and you cover it over with dirt. That seed dies. But does it really die? It is quickened. That seed comes back alive. It germinates, and it comes up out of the ground. and produces something that's completely different from what was buried in the ground. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. All right, let's go back in my own personal experience. Back in the early part of July 1940, I was dead and didn't know it, because the Bible says the dead know nothing. I was dead and didn't know it. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. I was an unbeliever. But I went to an old revival meeting under a brush arbor at a Baptist church, and I heard the preacher preach the Word of God. And as he preached, I came to the realization that I was a lost sinner, that I needed to be saved, that I needed to be born again to become a child of God. So when the invitation was given at the end of the service, I went forward and made a public profession of my faith in Christ and received Him into my heart as my personal Savior. I was resurrected from dead. I was quickened. I was made alive. I was born again. I was born of God. That's what happens whenever a person gets saved. Now listen to Paul's experience as he tells us in Romans chapter 7. He says that without the law, sin was dead. And that word dead, let me give you another Greek word. I just love to throw big words out at you. I'll have to spell this one again. N-I-K-R-O-S. So I'm a Greek scholar and I'm translating the Bible from Greek into English, and I come across this word, nekros, N-I-K-R-O-S. In English, that means dead. But it does not differentiate between dead physically and dead spiritually. Dead is dead, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. Paul says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now Paul, I'm going to preach on this sometimes, but I'll give you my points. Paul died three times. He tells us here that he died whenever the commandment came and sin revived. He died. One day he was preaching. People didn't like what he was saying, so they took him outside the city at a place called Lystra, and they threw rocks at him until a big one hit him on the head, knocked him unconscious. They kept on throwing rocks, and the first thing you know, he's dead. They drug him out of town and laid him out there on the side of the road. He died. That's death number two. Later on, he's taken to Rome. And they laid his head down on a chopping block, took an axe and cut it off. So that's death number three. Man, he's a big one on that death thing. But he came back alive. Except after the last one. And anyway, he says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, that is by the law, slew me. But after believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, listen to this. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Hey, that makes number four, doesn't it? Man, I got a 4-point sermon right there out of that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we who were once dead in sin are now dead to sin. And that's the resurrection that Jesus was talking about when old Lazarus died. Jesus wasn't there to heal him while he was sick, so he died. And they buried him. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus was talking to his sister Martha, and he told Martha that, Lazarus is going to live again. You'll see him again. And she said, yes, I know, but, you know, we'd like to have him back now. So Jesus said, all right, where have you laid him? They took him out to the Bethany Cemetery, said he's buried in a cave, the one with the big rock over the front of it. He said, roll away the stone. Lord, he's been dead and buried for 4 days. By now his body stinks. But nevertheless, we'll take away the stone. So they did. And Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And he did, didn't he? Now, listen. Jesus told Martha in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I, himself, am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he's talking to live people here. He's not talking about those who are dead in Christ in the cemetery. He's talking about us. Whosoever liveth and believeth on me, three words here, shall never die. Did you understand that? Shall never die. We mourn because John died. I've heard people say that all the time. John died. John did not die. He simply moved out of his body into the presence of Jesus Christ. And if that is death, then bring it on. Amen. My. Listen. If you believe in Jesus while you're alive, you'll never die. Now your body may die and go back to the dust from whence it came. But I will never die. The spirit of life may leave this body for a while at what we call death, but I will not die. Your spirit, your body, your soul, your spirit, your life, and your soul will simply go into the presence of God. So every spiritual resurrection is a work of God's grace. It's a miracle just as real as the future resurrection of our bodies. Now let's move on to the resurrection of the saints. That's the one we read about here. When the dead in Christ shall rise. He's speaking about those who have died. Believers who have died. Make that plain. Believers. because our resurrection is assured by his resurrection. Jesus himself said, because I live, you shall live also. Paul wrote, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I'm not going to take the time, but let me challenge you to, this afternoon, to read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the resurrection chapter. In particular, verses 12 through 22. And let me just take four statements that are made out of that 15th chapter. One of them is in verse 42, talks about resurrection, and it says, raised in incorruption. Verse 43 says, raised in glory. Also in verse 43, raised in power. And in verse 44, raised a spiritual body. It's talking about our resurrection from the dead. My, what a blessed hope we have in Christ in these days of death and bereavement. What an anchor for our soul as we near that finish line. What a comfort for us when we walk through that valley of the shadow of death and stand by the grave of a deceased loved one. Going to take a minute now to finish this sermon. I want to talk about the resurrection of the lost. Those people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have never accepted him as their personal Savior are lost. They may not get the rawest atheist you can find, one that doesn't believe in any kind of religion, one that doesn't believe in any kind of God or anything else. He is 110% atheist through and through. He doesn't believe in life and death and eternity and everlasting punishment and things like this. Doesn't believe in hell and heaven and all of this. Does his unbelief negate all of God's promises, all of God's word? Just because he doesn't believe it, does that make it not so? Of course not. He may die in his atheistic sins, thinking there is no heaven, there is no hell. Of course, he's going to find out pretty soon, isn't he? Won't take long. But one day, he's going to be raised from the dead. You got a lot of people today. I heard this last night. I guess I was watching Huckabee or something like that. Somebody was talking about the suicides of veterans. What is it, 22 a day, I think they said? That's a lot, isn't it? 22. Can you imagine getting so overwrought, so anxious, so tangled up in your mind? I'm going to end it all. And you pick up a gun and put it to your head and go boom. And you what? You end it all? That's what you think. You just pushed the ball over the cliff. It's going all the way down. And these people that think they can get away from God by killing themselves, that simply brings them into the presence, power, and authority of Almighty God. Because the Bible tells us, Acts 24:15, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Now, we've talked about the resurrection of the just. Let's take a look at the resurrection of the unjust. Everybody is going to be resurrected sooner or later. Revelation chapter 20. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years, that's the millennium, were finished. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, D-E-A-D, dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus himself said in John 5:28, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there's a resurrection of life and there's a resurrection of damnation. Daniel was told in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some shall awake to shame and everlasting contempt. So these are the four resurrections I wanted to discuss with you today. And I want you to notice the interrelation of these four resurrections. Because of resurrection number one, which is the resurrection of Christ, resurrection number two, the resurrection of those who are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins, is possible. And resurrection number three, the resurrection of the saints, also is made possible. So a person who is an unbeliever today needs to be spiritually resurrected from that death. If they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And once you get saved, you don't have to worry about that resurrection of the unjust, or the resurrection of the damnation, or the resurrection to shame and everlasting contempt. And you'll never have to worry about facing God at the great white throne judgment. And you won't have to worry about hell. And you won't have to worry about the lake of fire or the second death. Because when a person accepts Christ, you know this, you that are saved know this, that when you're saved, God, through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, gives us assurance of resurrection in incorruption, in glory, in power, and in a spiritual body. And if I had another week to preach, I would still say the same thing. Everyone will face God at one time or another, and they'll have to be resurrected to do it. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. We're not going to sing an invitation song this morning, Brother Sam. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. And if there is one here today, you know your heart, and you're the only one that does. The person standing next to you doesn't know. They may think they know, but they do not know your heart of hearts. Only you know your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And today, if you've never established a relationship with God, I would urge you to do that today, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow today to thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for what our ears have heard today, and we thank you for what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us from your blessed Word. We thank you for the hope of resurrection that we have in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. If there is one in this congregation today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, give that person today a spirit that will cause them to linger after the service and speak to one of us here today about the eternal destiny of their soul. We thank you for each one here. Ask that you might go with us now to our homes, lead, guide, and direct us, watch over us through this afternoon, and bring us back again tonight for our 6 o'clock service. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and all the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And may the Lord bless you.
Really know what the Lord does. Barbara.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Okay.
She's not feeling good?
Huh?
She's not feeling good?
Take care of grandkids about something.
Oh. As long as she's healthy, that's okay.
She's not perfect.